If you look at the second reading for this morning, you'll notice that it doesn't say anything about name. It doesn't say anything about your name. It does say Jesus Christ and Lord and God, and it talks about heart and believing and justified, and with one's mouth you confess. It talks about salvation in Scripture. Until you get to the last bit, and then it says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Storm, you might remember his lesson on the... I'm not picking on you, I promise. On the Lord's Prayer. We had taken a look at this last year, and just to help you refresh your catechism days, it says about the phrase, hallowed be thy name. And it asks the question, how is God's name hallowed and kept holy? God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we, as children of God, also lead holy lives according to it. We like the parts of the Bible that talk about God. We like the parts of the body that talk about God loves us. But then we start to be challenged when the Bible encourages us to love God perfectly, to live for God perfectly, to fulfill the law perfectly. And when we face that kind of confrontation, we know that, as the Bible says, all fall short of the glory of God. The people in the Old Testament were told, you know, the Lord your God is holy, and then it was told that, you know, God's people were to be holy. So sometimes when we get to the Lord's Prayer, we think about, yes, God's name is holy, but mine not so much. Well, this portion of Romans helps us. It helps us understand what's in a name. For you think about it. You were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it wasn't here, it was someplace. In the water and the Word, the Holy Spirit created faith in your heart, and at that very moment you were united with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. You have Jesus in your heart. You have the name of Jesus upon you. So what's in a name is actually pretty important. In the New Testament, we are reminded that our name is written in the book of life. For all who confess the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, it tells us that, you know, we have that forgiveness of sins and we are justified. That's what Paul says here. We are made righteous in Christ's name. What's in a name? Everything. So what's the disconnect? In Paul's day, in writing the letter to the Romans, and in earlier in chapter 1, he talks about, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. And he says, why? For it is the power of life and salvation. In our day and age right now, just as much as in his day, shame was cast on people who were different. Think about all the different ways in the media that people kind of toss whatever the shame kind of thing. I still don't get it because their opinions really don't matter, but it matters to somebody. And so people are shamed for when people talk about your weight gain or why did you wear that for your clothing style? And on it goes for what you said, what you post, what you think, for your attitude. There's all kinds of ways in which people in our society try to judge you and shame you, to embarrass you, to lower you, to put you down in such a way that maybe you would change and fit in with them. There are people who try to act really hip and cool, and even in their walk, and they're over 60. Nobody's cool after 60. The good news is you don't have to be. You don't have to be. You know, as we live in Christ, we recognize that our life in Christ is what changes everything and empowers us to have joy in the midst of chaos and turmoil. And in that sense, we don't have to panic. We don't have to have our heart pounding and huff and puff and wonder, what are we going to do, or how are we going to survive when the microwave goes out? Or whatever else is happening. So here's how Paul helps us today. Again, listen to, it's just a few short verses. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So here's the list for you. Because faith is a gift given to you, because the name of Jesus is written on your heart, because Christ died for your sins and rose again, giving you new life, you belong to God. And since God is the victor over sin, death, and the devil, there is nothing left to shame you. You belong to God as you are created by him, body and soul. You belong to God, chosen by God, as his own possession. You are designed by God, as the word says, fearfully and wonderfully made. You are equipped by God for his purpose. Some are called to be apostles, some evangelists, some, and all of that. You are equipped by God. You are made one in God, as we are members of the body of Christ. On earth it's called the church. And you are made alive in Christ by the actions of God, uniting you to Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ alive. What's in a name? In the name of Jesus, it's everything. And that name has been put in your heart. It is more than, as some people would say, well, that's a game changer, you know. No, it's a life giver. Now, in our world, when we start valuing and treasuring other things, that's when we start to get shamed. In our world today, when we start valuing riches and wealth and image and clothing labels and looks and certain skills above all other skills, it becomes a whole different attitude, and it becomes less of a life in Christ and more of a life in the things of here and now. It's difficult. We call it peer pressure. We call it bullying. We call it many things. But it's difficult. Just as it was in Paul's day, it was difficult to live for God and not get a negative response. But Paul reminds us that living for God is is everything. Because if you live apart from God, then you have nothing. And all you have is life in this world. And like the story of Lazarus and the rich man, remember how the rich man had everything and Lazarus seemed to have nothing but trouble? And when they both died, Lazarus had everything and the rich man ended up with nothing. The rich man had no glory, no glory in Christ. The rich man only had the glory in his wealth. And in his death, he lost everything. But Lazarus, in the death and resurrection of Jesus, has everything. You and I have all. And so when we pray the Lord's Prayer, and we say, hallowed be thy name, what we are also saying is that because we are alive in Christ, we are hallowed. That is, we are declared glory. We are justified. We are forgiven. We are made righteous. And it changes our whole view of self and the world. Right now, a lot of people are concerned about, you know, their identity, and they're trying to find their way, and they're lost, and they're confused. The Bible says there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. In the Greeks, there's no difference. And yet, all we want to do is find out which group, which individual group, which elective group, which special group I belong to. When I was a kid in school and they said, oh, you're in the special needs class. I thought, well, that was cool. And then sometimes somebody tried to explain that special needs was not a compliment. You understand? Our world tells us that being alive in Christ is not a compliment. Having the name of Jesus on your heart is not a compliment. You've got to have something more, something special, something different. You have to have attitude and style and this and that and on the list goes. And you ever noticed how all the people had that kind of answers? They really don't have joy. They know when to smile at the camera. But when you listen to what's gone on in their life, the brokenness, the fighting, the conflict, the competition is terrible, and the dog-eat-dog world shows itself very clearly. But when we have Christ, we are God's treasured. We know whose we are, and therefore we know who we are. We are his people. We are his redeemed. We are his lifted up out of despair. We are the ones who are given the joy of everlasting life and God's promise. And because, as the Catechism says, wherever the Word of God is true, taught in truth and purity, that's when God's name is hallowed, so is our name when we live in Christ. And when we fail, we still follow the Word in truth and purity, and we confess our sins. And then you heard in a liturgy sometime, God who is faithful and just forgives our sins. What's in a name? As Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of God's name. I'm not ashamed of the one in whom I am named. I'm not ashamed. And therefore, all the opinions of the world can be set aside. And all the attitude that we get from the ways of the world are nullified. Because what we live for and whom we serve isn't the world, but it is our God. As Paul says, and he calls us, when we confess, when we have faith, we trust in God. We believe in God. We live because of God. We live for God. In other words, we reflect in this world that our names, because of God's love, is written in the book of life. We live for him. We live in his name. All of us, in a sense, have a name tag. It says, I belong to God. And the world is going to laugh about that. Let them laugh. because it's your opportunity to live in the name of Christ and show the power of God and what difference it makes. Your life is not going to be automatically easy, but you are blessed with the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of your faith, and living for God, knowing you will be with God forever and ever. Amen.